All right, well, I'm here with
Jason Scott.
And Jason, I noticed that you've got your new film out. I was able to preview it not too long ago. Can you tell me a little bit about the BBS documentary and what it is and why you decided to release it?
Sure. Well, I run a site called textfiles.com, which is a collection of bulletin board text files. Bulletin board is a computer system back in the 70s and 80s where people, before the internet became popular, would put their computers up for others to call into and leave messages, not unlike an answering machine. But many of them would become extremely popular and have hundreds of people using a single machine. And later they grew and became really popular, and some of them had many thousands of people using them, and there were many computers hooked together, and they became a lot of what we think of now as internet service providers when the internet became a big deal in the 90s. But this whole history had happened before any of that hit back in the 70s and 80s, and I thought, wow, somebody's not going to really tell a story about it. It was now 2001 when I started, and I thought, wow, nobody's going to do anything. So I just started doing research and saying, well, how many were there, and what were those people? And next thing I knew, 4 years had passed, 200 interviews, and I'd done something called BBS The Documentary, which turned out to be a five and a half episode, 8 hour, why am I doing that? Oh, I know why. It was 5.5 hours long, split into 8 episodes, with 7 hours of footage all over 3 DVDs. An unbelievably huge project that I'm now selling, and also making available Creative Commons, that basically tells the story of the BBS, everything from its early days to such events as when it became an industry, to networks that people put up back then that were attempts to do internet-like things for free, and basically this beautiful, rich history that I was really concerned was going to go.
So tell me why you decided to release it in the Creative Commons, because that's something that's kind of new, and that was one of the things that caught my attention. I was like, oh, wow, this is great. Wow, what was the reason for that decision?
Well, the Creative Commons came around because actually it came in several areas. First of all, when I was working on it, I knew that, like any documentary, I was recording a lot of footage, and that of all that footage, I'd only use a small bit. That's just what you do in a documentary. So I had shot 250 hours of interviews, and I was going to make it 5.5 hours, which is still quite a long amount, but still, that's 240 hours of interviews that weren't going to go anywhere. So I had thought that I was eventually going to release those, and I would release those under a Creative Commons because, hey, why not? That would be a way to ensure that this history lived on and people could do with it as they wanted to and not be afraid that I was going to come after them for using, quote-unquote, my footage, because I really don't think of it as my footage. I think of it as I happen to be the lucky guy who was able to convince many of these people to tell a story back in the early 2000 era that people years from now will want to go to. So I knew I was going to release all of the external footage Creative Commons, and the more I thought about it, I didn't really see any downside to releasing it all Creative Commons. I mean, people who were going to buy it, you know, if you're selling a product like this and you've made people have a good reason to buy it physically, you know, because what you're really doing is you're charging people for the physical package. And if I made the package really good and I made it a lot of DVDs and I made it really convenient and I charged a good, fair price, then people would buy it. And, you know, my hope was that people would buy it in droves, and people who couldn't afford it, because I could remember when I was somebody who couldn't afford it, they'd get to see it and learn anyway. And that has actually turned out to be quite the case. I get letters from 17-year-old kids who were infants when bulletin boards went away, who tell me, wow, I had no idea. I downloaded it. That was really good. I don't have any money. Thank you, though. You were great. So I understand where that's coming from. When I was their age, I couldn't afford a pizza. So it's great to me that these kids are learning about it. So, you know, a lot of it comes from priorities. How do you do it? You know, are you making a product? Is that all you think of it as? Are you going to make today you're making a piece of art, and tomorrow you're going to make a shoe, and the day after that you're going to bake pies? And, you know, is that what it means to you? Or were you trying to achieve something for betterment? And for me, it was a case of, I want this story out. I want these people interviewed, and I want this era that meant a lot to me to be out there. And so that became the first and main drive. And then after, it was like, hey, I might make some bucks on the side. That'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? So I think that's the attitude. I think it's, you know, a lot of people think Creative Commons is anti-capitalist or anti-money. And it's more a case of, it's realizing that when you create art, people are going to use it. they're going to use it as, they're not going to be just passive eyeballs staring at a screen for an hour and a half and then going and getting a beer. They want to do things with it, even if it's to show people or tell people about it and say, look at it, and here, let me lend you my copy and everything else. And what we're seeing in the last few years, which really started to bother me, was an attempt to modify law to the point that it became this controlled substance. We have controlled media substances that you can be caught in possession of and get busted and go away for years for carrying music that was illegal. And I knew, just by, you know, unfortunately now, just by putting the little C on your work and nothing else, you're kind of signing up for that. And you're saying, well, that's, yeah, I like that. Sending some 18-year-old to jail for 5 years for videotaping a movie? I'm down with that. That's wonderful. And anyone who tries to copy my movie, let's send them to jail for 10 years. That would be great. Let's take away their childhood because they wanted their friend to see the Super Mario Brothers movie. That'd be great. So I didn't want to sign up for that. So that was the other pushing thing. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Mine's very set up weird. I actually have a guy who I pay, like, a standard royalty contract for using his music, but I don't own it at all. He can sell it himself. He sets it out for free. You can download it for free, but I also pay him because I use it and sell it. So, you know, it is, you know, a lot of people think that there's only one way to do things. So it was nice to do things a different way, and it's worked out for me.
So how has community changed in your view since, you know, BBSs came along? Then we had, you know, CompuServe and forums and all that, and now, you know, we've got the web and all sorts of incarnations of community. What's been, is it changed a lot, or is it the same, just different ways to access it?
A lot of what it comes down to is where you were when you first got online or got involved in communities like that. You know, if you were on a bulletin board first, the internet seems like a very strange, cold place, buried, with communities buried and distant. You know, one of the things that really strikes bulletin boards is that because of the nature of the phone calls, you kind of knew everyone there kind of knew where the local pizza parlor was, and they kind of knew that. I personally like where things have gone because, you know, we transfer files at the speed of light now that are just incredible. We store everything. Kids can come in from anywhere. They get full color. They get pictures. They can say, look at this, and you can just look at it. It's not even a thought that there'll be a picture in a message, you know. And so for me, I like where things have gone now, but I realize that for people who came up a certain way, that was their golden age. That was the golden age. And so for bulletin board people, there's a much greater sense of local community, that is to say, geographic community, that's gone, and it will be gone. I mean, it's just the nature of the internet is everyone is everywhere. My opinion is, my weird opinion, which we'll see if it ever gets proven, is I believe WiMAX, with its miles range, may bring a return to that, where you have a city and there's an access point that functions as a bulletin board system, and you just hook up, you know, turn on your computer and scroll down and pick it up, and now you're suddenly know everyone who's on there kind of knows where the pizza place is again. So we may see a return to that. But I personally think I'm definitely, you know, it's very easy to go from nostalgia to a dislike of innovation. And I think innovation is the way to go. I don't think there should be, you get a lot of fear. People think that they're living on shifting sand when the world changes around them and they say, well, it's no good anymore. That's their reaction. And I'm like, no, it's just a different kind of good.
And one of the other projects that you had mentioned before is TextFiles. Yes. .com. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, I know text files are the standard format for all of us. We just seem to like to throw stuff in text files, but what is your project?
Well, textfiles.com rose up in the late 90s, and what that was I was really concerned because I went to go look for a bulletin board system that I had used, and I couldn't find it. And I started to look for bulletin board systems in the New York area, couldn't find it. And I looked for any kind of place to go look at old computer bulletin board stuff, and I couldn't find it. And one of the things about bulletin boards, there were messages you could leave, but you could also upload a file. And because back then you really couldn't do graphics very easily, people would write. They would write like they used to, like they say. They would write stories or write how-tos or write whatever, and they would put them up, and they would be put in a special section, you know, general files or G files or text files or whatever, info files. And you would go there, and you'd find out, oh, you know, I discovered this. I discovered how to modify my car. I discovered how to build a skate ramp. I discovered how to modify this phone to do something really cool. And so people would collect them, and groups would form and say, oh, our group came out with this new text file. And I had collected those. I always thought those were fascinating. So I had about 9,000 by the time I was in my 20s and had forgotten about them and gone away. And so this was 1998, and I went ahead and registered textfiles.com and put them all up. And I discovered I had tapped into this oil field of nostalgia, and so people started sending me their files, and next thing I knew I was at 50,000, and it all grew from there. I've become the BBS history, older computer technology guy. I'm sure I'll be collecting older versions of Slackware soon. I'm collecting a lot of podcasts now, because I think podcasts are the same drive. So I'm collecting, 4,000, 5,000 podcasts now, and that's working out. And people are like, why would you do that? And all I can see are people back in 83 going, why would you do that, when I was collecting text files? And it's the same drive. Save a little bit of history.
And for the folks who want to buy the BBS documentary, where do they go, how much, and all that?
Sure. BBSDocumentary.com sells it for $50. That's a very good price, by the way. It's 3 DVDs. And 5.5 hours, then trust me, it was better than Star Wars. And I'm also selling at Amazon, but it's more expensive at Amazon because Amazon takes 55% off the top. Bet you didn't know that. They do. So it costs you more money, and I make less if you buy through Amazon. But hey, some people want to one-click their way to nostalgia. That's fine with me. So BBSDocumentary.com also has hundreds of bulletin board programs, timeline, thousands of photographs that I took on the way, and so there's lots to browse. And so I wanted it to be both a resource and a project.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.